This is Long Shots. Here's Wes Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Long Shots here on the VSiN Podcast Network, golf betting podcast in which we are going to bring you some live picks here. It is Around the World with Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin joining as well. Wes, we are not actually going around the world this week. We're just heading over to the East Coast, going to get some tune up for the Masters for some of these live guys over there at a pretty difficult, pretty decent little course over there in Doral.
Yeah, it is the Blue Monster at Doral. Obviously, this course was on the PGA Tour for many years as the Doral Ryder Open, and then they played the Cadillac Championship, which is the WGC event, and now it is being hosted at LIV, the Blue Monster, now known as Trump National Doral. Par 72, about 7,700 yards from the tips. It could play maybe, it's probably going to play around 76, but 7,701 was the listed yardage here. So, yeah, this course has been around a long time, fairly narrow fairways. It is super long, as I mentioned. Water really everywhere on this layout. You can score here, though, but, you know, not exactly easy. It depends on how difficult they want to make this to give these guys a test before we have Augusta National. So, you know, looking at the odds board, same favorite as it's been all four events so far in the LIV season, that being John Rahm at 6-1. John Rahm still seeking his first win on his new tour, but he's got company near the top because Joaquin Niemann is at 7-1 right behind him. He's actually won two of the first four events, one for us at Mayakoba and then also one in Jeddah over in Saudi Arabia. Bryson DeChambeau around 10-1. Dustin Johnson around 14-1. He actually won the LIV Las Vegas event a few weeks ago, won back on this course in Doral in 2015. The other former Doral winner in this field, Patrick Reed, who did so the year before in 2014. But Patrick Reed's about 45-1. Cam Smith off that runner-up in Hong Kong is at 15-1. Brooks Koepka, if you'll remember, won the event the week before the Masters down in Orlando in what looked like kind of a muni course down there. But this Doral is a championship course, so should be at least a good test for these guys.
Yeah, Wes, it's a course in which it looks like length is going to be a pretty big factor in this. When we kind of look at some of these previous winners, as you mentioned, you know, there's some of these guys that are pretty long, you know, that have had success here at this course. And so when you were, I you know, as we always talk about with the LIV stuff, we don't have as much data as we have from some of these other, you know, other these other tours whenever we're handicapping these deals. But did you just go off of the players that you knew that were a little bit longer? Like, how did you whittle down the playing field here?
Yeah, that's what you have to do. They have like a stat site on their website. This is not exactly the most advanced website, by the way. For all the money that is involved in this tour, it is a fairly basic website. It looks like it was done like on the CompuServe server in the early days of the internet. But
that merger is coming, Wes, okay? The whole merger is coming, okay? Why build a website when you're going to merge, okay?
Yeah, so maybe we'll get ShotLink for both tours. That'd be a novel concept. But yeah, all you have is like your basic data, driving distance, greens and regulations. So you don't have any advanced strokes gained or any type of that data. So I went pretty basic. And look, it's a long course. So who am I going to take? I'm going to take the longest hitter. And that's Bryson DeChambeau, who 10-1 is kind of the average. Maybe he'll be a little bit higher when more of the market's populated, but he leads LIV in driving distance. So, you know, it's not just been distance where he's actually been good. He's fifth in greens and regulation, almost 75%. And Bryson's played solid, you know, to start the season. I believe he's got top tens in his last three LIV events. So he actually has been playing solid. He was in the mix in Las Vegas, just kind of fell off in the final round when he was in the final group with DJ. So Bryson DeChambeau certainly made sense at 10-1. And I also went with another guy who not exactly a long hitter, but a pretty accurate hitter and makes a lot of birdies. Very good putter, very good scrambler. Top 10 in all those categories, by the way, on LIV is Taylor Gooch at 18-1. He's not in the Masters field next week, unlike Bryson, who is. And, you know, Taylor Gooch is known to run his mouth a little bit about how the Masters should have an asterisk because all the best players are not there because he and, I guess, Dean Burmester and a few others aren't there. So the Masters, I guess, doesn't mean anything. But nevertheless, look, he's the type of guy, though, that gets motivated. in events like this, and he's won a few times out there, and he is a good player. You know, maybe not the smartest guy with some of the things he says and puts out there in the press, but he can play a little bit. So Taylor Gooch 18-1, and then I went, because I only go with three in this 48-54 player field event. Paul Casey 30-1, who was runner up in Hong Kong 3 weeks ago, and then finished sixth in Singapore, where he was on my card. He actually had a share of the lead at one point in that final round. He is number one in greens in regulation, about 77%. Fourth in fairways hit, about 64.5%. So he's still a really good ball striker. He's still excellent with that. Now, he'll make some mistakes, and sometimes the putting will make Paul Casey par Casey, and that's not what you can be if you're trying to win here. But I think he's in pretty darn good form right now.
Yeah, Wes, like this is a course everybody's familiar with. Like you said, we've seen it for so many years on the PGA Tour. I know we're going to talk about it. I'm sure the subject will come up when we do our PGA Tour podcast. How many of these guys are you expecting to, I don't know, throttle back a little bit before a week before the Masters? Is that something you're concerned about at all for the guys that are in it? Or with this being live, you think there's a little bit more of a push to, hey, if you're playing in this event, you better show up and play?
Well, the one thing about it is they have had some time off. They haven't played for 3 weeks. So, you know, it's not like, okay, you've played 4 weeks in a row and you're kind of grinding out here and then, you know, maybe getting a little wore down. So these guys all should be rested. You know, just eyeballing the guys that are going to be in the field next week, Rahm, Neiman, DeChambeau, Cam Smith, Tyrrell Hatton, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka in the field next week, Adrian Meronk in the field next week, Sergio Garcia, obviously all the former Masters winners, Garcia, Bubba Watson, Patrick Reed. So most of the guys aren't in the field though next week. So this is still going to be important to these guys, I think, to, you know, just get a win. Schwartzel, another guy, former champion, as well as Phil, of course. So yeah, most of these guys are not in the field next week. So I'll be interested to see which Masters participants really take it seriously. Remember, like I was saying, Brooks won in Orlando the week before, and then he ended up finishing runner-up. He actually led most of the Masters last year. But the one thing about Masters prices, too, because I think maybe the odds makers learned their lesson, you're not going to get the huge drift on the live guys that you did last year, because so many of them played well. Even Patrick Reed, who really hasn't been in contention any time in the last 18 months to get a victory, played well. Koepka played well. Phil Mickelson shot 65 on Sunday and ended up finishing T2. So yeah, these guys have played well. Like Neiman, he's drifted down. He wasn't even in the field. He had to get a special invitation. And I think maybe what he said after Mayakoba, where he's like, yeah, I'm not in any of the majors. And look, he absolutely should be, because he's gone first, 30th, third, first, and fourth in his five events he's played this year. And that third, I believe, is over at Dubai in the Dubai Desert Classic. So yeah, the top guys are going to be the ones that are going to be in that Masters field. But I don't think there's any lack of motivation for any of these guys.
Yeah, Matt, I think that's an interesting point by Wes. If you are looking forward to the Masters odds, I mean, like, this is, I think you said it right, Wes. They're not going to be caught by surprise this year. That's not going to happen. I would even argue, I think some of these numbers have gotten way too short. Like, I love Neiman. I loved him on PGA Tour. I was a little worried about guys like him, and specifically him, going to live, because you just didn't know if you were going to be competitive. Would the competitive nature of the PGA Tour drive you? Would you get the same feel on live? I was always unsure of that. Now he's had a couple good performances all the way down to 25-1 to win the Masters. To me, that's gotten way too short on a guy like Neiman, who we haven't seen play in these full PGA Tour events.
Yeah, exactly. And you look at, you know, I bet him after he won that second event here in town, a couple places he was at 50-1. And obviously he's nowhere near that right now. And then some of these guys, I understand why they're the prices they are. But if you look at like Dustin Johnson, he's so erratic a little bit with his form, and to see him, actually, he's now been put back up at 35-1, but I understand Brooks maybe Brooks should be in the 20s, but he's like 18-1, but it's Brooks in a major, and he does have a major championship currently on his trophy case from last year at the PGA. So you couldn't really get too generous on Brooks here. But yeah, some of these guys that really haven't been, I guess, in the most consistent form, like a DeChambeau or like a Dustin Johnson, you wonder if they are a little bit too short. But they don't want to give these generous numbers for these guys. Cameron Smith, another guy, 28-1. It's not like he's in, because when I compare him to like the guys that are 28 to 1, like Cantlay and Thomas. It's like, I think those guys have played a little bit better and maybe more consistent. But Cam Smith, we know, has a really good record here at Augusta.
Guys, one of the other things also with all Florida courses, weather can also be a factor. Just doing some quick little Googling here. Now, we are recording this on Tuesday. Doesn't look like it's going to be all that bad there. So I think we're going to get a pretty straightforward 54 holes, if you remember, 54 holes as opposed to 72 holes for this tournament. And of course, you can get all the write up over at VSiN.com. And a little sneak peek here. We are going to be releasing our early, very early Masters betting primer that will be over on VSiN.com as well. So be sure and check that out this week as well. For Wes, for Kelly, I'm Matt. Good luck on all your Live Miami bets.